In our journey together through John's first letter, we have reached chapter 5 and verse 6. The first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Yeshua Mashiach, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And there are three, and the three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, that you motivated John to write this letter, and that you have preserved it for us and for your people through all ages. And we thank you that you desire us to know you and to know life in you. Today, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and tender hearts to respond in faith. In Yeshua's name, amen. Once again, we want to remember that John is writing this to believers, and he is writing to believers who are facing a particular challenge of error in his day. And he is writing from the heart of a pastor. And as his heart as a pastor, as a shepherd under the great shepherd, he wants us to experience the fullness of the life that we have in Yeshua. And so he has helped us to see the importance of being clear about what it means to be in a relationship with Yeshua. We've seen that it involves righteousness. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And you and I will live righteously if Yeshua is in us. We've seen that it involves believing and trusting that Yeshua himself is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, fully God come in the flesh. And we've seen that it means that we will be loving one another more and more. And so John comes to this part of his letter, and he comes to make that statement in verse 13 as to why he has written this letter. And he says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe, that you may keep on believing in the name of the Son of God. And so John is writing to us, to believers throughout the ages, and thus, the Spirit through John, God himself writing to us, to give us assurance that we have eternal life. This is not presumption. This is not arrogance. This is actually humility. It is humble for us to agree with God. It is humble for us to be able to say, I am in a relationship with God, and it is not because of anything I have done. It is because I have come to see the witness that God has borne about his Son, and I have come to trust his Son. So this passage of Scripture that we're looking at together is to help us to see what it is to have eternal life and to be certain that we have this eternal life. And so we come to verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood. He's concluded verse 5 by saying that the person who overcomes the world is the person who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God, that Yeshua is God in the flesh. And then he says, this is he who came by water and blood. Those three words, he who came, can almost be considered a messianic title. And it carries with it a beautiful, beautiful picture for us. If we turn back to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, God's people are, of course, in bondage, in slavery, suffering terribly. And they cry out to the Lord. At the end of chapter 2, it talks about the people crying out, and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. And then in chapter 3, at the burning bush, as God gets Moses' attention, listen to what God says about himself. Why is he intersecting Moses? In verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. God is the one who sees. He sees everything that you and I are going through. He sees how we are feeling, how it has impacted us. He sees how people have treated us. He sees. And I have heard their cry. He doesn't just see, he hears. It goes right to his heart because of their taskmasters. And then not only that, for I know their sorrows. He knows our pain. He feels for us. God is not this stoic being somewhere far off, untouched by us. But God sees and hears and knows what we are going through. And then, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. So he is the God who comes. He doesn't just stay far off. He is the God who comes near. He is the God who comes down. He is the humble God. He is the God who comes down to bring us out and to take us in. That is the title that John gives to Yeshua. He is the one who came. He who came. He came from heaven. He came from the glories of heaven. Yeshua came down to earth to a virgin's womb. And then he was born and lived completely a human life as a man for those 33 years. And then he gave his life. He was crucified. He was executed for us. He gave his life on the altar, on the tree. He shed his blood. He came all the way down so that he might take us all the way up. He came by water and blood. He is the coming one described in the book of Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah was given the vision of the coming king. It is the scripture that is quoted when Yeshua entered Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. He is coming. He is the coming one. He came, and he came by water, and he came by blood. And what is John saying to us? He is saying that this Yeshua, this one who is the Messiah, he came to us, and we first saw his coming as it was declared at his immersion in Mark chapter 1. Mark writes very simply and clearly of Yeshua's coming. Mark writes, verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Yeshua came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was immersed, baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Father was bearing witness to the Son at this moment, and the Son was fulfilling all righteousness and entering into his public ministry as Messiah, declaring the good news to the nation and inviting people into relationship with the Father. He came by water, by the water of baptism. He was fully Messiah before that day, and he continued and was publicly declared as Messiah on that day by the Father. And then in John chapter 12, as he neared the end of his earthly journey, Yeshua was in the midst of a great multitude entering Jerusalem. John chapter 12 and verse 12. "The next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, to Pesach, when they heard that Yeshua was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Then Yeshua, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written," and here's the Zechariah promise, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Yeshua was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were there with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. And the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "You see that we are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." And now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Yeshua." Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew in turn Andrew and Philip told Yeshua. But Yeshua answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, but he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Yeshua came into Jerusalem, presenting himself as the humble king. He came to the people, and he came and was challenged once again, just as he had been challenged in the wilderness. The evil one had said, "You don't have to go through the cross." Sometime later, the evil one, speaking through Peter's thoughts, said, "You don't have to go through the cross, far be it from you." And then once again, Greeks came and they wanted to make him king. And his disciples came and said, "Here, these people are coming for you." And Yeshua knew what they wanted. And once again, he refused that way that was not the way of the Father. He was the one who came not by water only, but by water and by blood. He would go to the place of death. He would be crucified. He would not circumvent the Father's purpose. He came all the way down. He came that the Father would glorify his name through his life and bring us life. And at that moment, then a voice came from heaven. Once again, as at his immersion, at his baptism, the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The voice comes again, "I have both glorified your name and will glorify it again." The Father said, "Yes, I will glorify your name. I will carry you through death into life, that you may give life. He is the one who came. His whole life is in view in those three words, that title, He who came. He came by water and He came by blood. The heresy that John was combating is one that is lurking around even in our day. The heresy was that Yeshua was just an ordinary man for 30 years. And then at His baptism, the Messiah Spirit came upon Him and stayed on Him until just before He was crucified, and then it left Him. John is saying for us that Yeshua is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah from the moment that He was conceived to the moment that He left the earth and went to heaven, through water and through blood. Through water and through blood, the Spirit testifies that He is the one who came, fully God in human flesh. This is Jewish John writing these words. This is powerful for us to see. And then it is also wonderful for us to know our God is the one who feels and hears and sees and comes to help us. He has come and He is coming. He is here and He is coming. I never tire of contemplating the coming of Yeshua again. Those disciples, when Yeshua was getting ready to leave in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Yeshua has spent time with them in His resurrected body. They've hung out together for 40 days and Yeshua has talked about the kingdom. Can you imagine what glory that was? We have a glimpse into it. And then they say, Yeshua, are you now going to restore the kingdom? And Yeshua says, no, it's not for you to know the times that are set in the Father's heart. But I tell you what's going to happen. I am going to empower you with the Ruach HaKodesh. I'm going to empower you with the Spirit. And that Spirit will enable you to bear witness to Me that I have come. And you will bear witness to Me in Jerusalem and in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we are recipients of that glorious promise that Yeshua gave. And then in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. He will come. And when He comes the second time, He comes not to bring salvation. He comes not as the humble, suffering servant. He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming, and every eye will see Him, John would write in the book of Revelation. Every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. And Yeshua says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come. The Almighty. I am so thankful that our God is the God who came and the God who is coming. The glorious hope. So John writes, He who came. He came by water and blood. He came declaring His Messiahship through baptism, and He came declaring it through shedding His blood for us, being crucified for us. The Spirit of God also bears witness to this. Yeshua talked about this the last night He was on earth, that the Spirit of God would bear witness in the Upper Room Discourse in John chapter 15. That beautiful text that talks about Yeshua is the vine and we are the branches. And we abide in Him and bear much fruit. And at the end of that chapter in verse 26 of John 15, Yeshua says this, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me." The Spirit delights to testify of the Son. The Spirit delights to magnify Yeshua. He delights to help us understand the intricacies and the mysteries of Yeshua, the heart of Yeshua. And in John chapter 16, Yeshua continues. In verse 13, He says, "However," well, in verse 12, let's see that. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." This is often the case with us. Sometimes our memory fails too. But in verse 13, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, and He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. And He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." He will remind us of what the Father has said to us. He will remind us of what Yeshua taught us. He will remind us of those encounters we've had with Him. He will be the witness that Yeshua is indeed the Messiah and that it was the best choice we ever made to put our trust in Him. The Father also bears witness. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Father is the God and Father of all truth. Yeshua said that I am the way and the truth. Our God is the God of truth. In our day, where there seems to be no certainty about anything, you and I can build our lives on the very character of God, who is always the truth. Do you realize that truth, when Yeshua said, "I am the truth," what is He saying? He's saying truth is not a proposition. It's not some fact floating out there. Truth is essentially a person. Truth is essentially God Himself, the very character and nature of God. The truth, the Spirit, is the truth, and He bears witness to the authenticity of Yeshua being the Messiah. We are not alone in bearing this witness. The Spirit is with us. And the Father bears this witness as well. As we continue in 1 John 5 and verse 7, "There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." Of course, there are three that bear witness, the triune God. "And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." That is exactly what the Torah said, that to bear witness, you must have the testimony not just of one, but of two or three. "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established," wrote Moses in Deuteronomy 19. There are three that bear witness. The triune God bears witness. The Spirit and the water and the blood bear witness. And if we receive the witness of men, there's the witness of men too. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. We've already seen at His baptism, the Father said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we already saw that just before His execution, before going to be crucified, we see that the Father spoke again and said, "I will glorify Your name," and affirming He is the Messiah. And we heard the voice of the Father declaring that the Son is the beloved Son one other time. Do you remember? On the Mount of Transfiguration, John was there. Peter and James and John had been taken up on that high mountain. And Yeshua had been praying. It had been night and it got dark. And Yeshua had been praying. And the veil that was His flesh, through that veil, the glory of His inner person began to shine forth so bright that it scared those three when they had awakened after they'd been napping. And Peter didn't know what to say about all of that. And so, in typical Peter style, he says, well, why don't we build three shelters? Let's build a sukkah for each one of these people, for Elijah and for Moses and for Yeshua. And then the glory cloud came over them. And the voice of the Father said, this is my Son. Listen to him. And then the cloud parted and they saw Yeshua only. And Yeshua walked over and touched them and said, don't be afraid. The Father bears witness to the Son. And the Father's testimony is wonderful testimony. It's better testimony than any human testimony. The Father bears witness to the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my Messiah. This is my King, whom I will install on my holy hill. The nations may reject that, but the Father will laugh. The Father will laugh because He will set His King in place, and no one can usurp the King, Yeshua. The Father bears witness that Yeshua is the Son of God, is His Son. Then, again, back in 1 John chapter 5, he who believes, in verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And we have seen that over and over in this beautiful passage, in this beautiful letter, John's Gospel 2. John never tires of helping us see that to be in relationship with Yeshua is that Yeshua would abide in us. He comes to tabernacle in us, and we come to abide in Him. The witness abides in us. The witness is in us Himself. The Spirit is the gift of the Father sent in us, bearing witness that Yeshua is the Messiah, that we are children of God. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe, God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. The testimony that God has given. It's a serious thing for us to say Yeshua is not the Messiah. It is a serious, serious matter because it is not just a matter of personal opinion. It is a matter of calling into question the very character of God. It is calling into question God's faithful witness to who the Son is. And it is essentially, John minces no words, it is essentially calling God a liar. Yeshua is Messiah. Yeshua is the Son of God. The Spirit, the water, the blood, the Father testify to this. The Spirit coming in us enables us to testify, to witness to this as well. And so it grieves us deeply when those around us would call into question the character of our Messiah. And we ask and plead for God to be patient, to be merciful, and to open eyes that they may see. And this, in verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Why is it so serious to call God a liar? Because there is no life apart from the Son. There is no life unless we trust the Son, unless we trust the testimony of the Father. You see, God's whole goal for you and I is not our destruction. God's whole goal for us is to come to know Him and to experience life. Life to the full. Yeshua said that. In John chapter 10, that verse 10 that we often enjoy reading together, Yeshua said, as He was talking about Himself being the good shepherd, in John chapter 10, He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The evil one is the master thief. He came to steal the truth of God. He came to destroy the work of God. He came to kill. Whenever you see at work in this world those things, you know who's behind it. At some place, you know who's behind it, who's stimulating it and stirring it up. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But why did Yeshua come? Yeshua says, I have come that they may have life. Is that it? That they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I love that word, abundantly. That word abundantly, I would love to picture it, to try to picture it. It's like extravagance. Like God doesn't just love us a little bit. God's not just a little bit merciful to us. God doesn't want us to taste just a little bit of life. God is extravagant. He loves us. He's lavished upon us His grace and His mercy and His love. And He wants to lavish upon us life. John wrote this letter. John wrote his gospel so that you and I would trust in Yeshua, and in Yeshua that we would find life. There are so many wonderful pictures laced throughout this wonderful book that God has given us. I like the passage in Psalm 36 that talks about the life in Him. The Psalms are so rich with pictures. Psalm 36, verse 5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are the great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. How precious. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. I love the picture of the shadow of God's wings. His care for us like a mother bird, tender. And then the picture of salvation, life, eternal life. Verse 8, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. We get to go to God's house. We get to live there forever. And we will not just be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We will be thoroughly satisfied with the abundance of His house. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. David would write in another psalm, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forever, eternal pleasures. That is the kind of eternal life that God is giving to us, abundant life. And the glory of it is that we are experiencing the foretaste of this right now. Eternal life is not something we have just by and by. Eternal life is what God has given us when we have trusted Yeshua, the Messiah. Even Job had a foretaste of this. In Job chapter 19, as he was talking with his friends, who turned out to be not such good friends. Job chapter 19. At one point, this is what he says, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Does not your heart yearn within you? Isn't that what John wrote for us in the third chapter of this letter? He said that one day we will see Him, that we are the children of God, and it has not yet been fully revealed what we shall be. But we one day will see Him, and when we see Him, we shall be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. We will see Him without the veil. The veil will be taken away, and we will see Him, and we will fully experience this eternal life that we have given because we have trusted in Yeshua. Yeshua has come to give us life. The Father is testifying to this life. The Father gives this life. This life is given to us. It's a free gift, not something that any of us could ever earn or deserve. As our brother Steve highlighted for us, that beautiful passage, the robe of righteousness in Isaiah 61 that he shared with us. We have been given the righteousness, the gift of life. That life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life, John writes. I love to look at the end of Revelation and read that passage in chapter 21 that talks about this life that says that there will be a time when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will only be life and joy and celebration. There shall be no more pain, glory. The older I get, enough said, the more glorious this promise becomes. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And then Yeshua says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes will inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. This is eternal life. It's good for us to meditate on eternal life. This life that God has given us. And this life is in his son. John writes, in chapter 5 of his first letter, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then, verse 13, John has written, out of love, prompted by the Spirit of God, from the very heart of God to us, that you and I, who believe in the name of the Son of God, in the name, all that he is, that is his character, we believe that he is trustworthy, that he is faithful, that he is true. We believe that everything he said is true. We believe that everything he did pointed to the fact of who he is and that he has come to give us life. In the name, we believe, we place our trust, we lean our whole being upon him. In him, in the name, believing in the name of the Son of God, and that when we believe, we know, because God has promised, that we have eternal life. And God enables us to continue believing. There is a sense in which we cross over into relationship with God in a once and for all choice. But the continuing impact of that choice is that we continue to believe. We continue to trust. We continue to grow in trusting the Son of God, that we can believe, that we can continue to trust in His name, that we can continue to trust in all that He is. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance. Yeshua is mine. God doesn't want us to be uncertain about a relationship with Him. God doesn't want us to be living in the dark. Have I done enough to be in a relationship with Him? When I goofed over here, when I messed up, when I said that wrong thing, when I thought that wrong thought, when I did that wrong action, does that mean that I've lost it? No, 1,000 times no, because we are not trusting in our own ability to earn it. We are trusting in the finished work of Yeshua, who has accomplished it and given it to us as a free gift, which we receive by faith, trusting in His character. And that's why we can be sure. That's why we can be certain, because we are not trusting in ourselves. We are trusting in the reliability, the faithfulness of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of God, who has said that I give to them eternal life, and they are in the palm of my hand, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Let's pray together. Father, it is so appropriate to call you Father, that you treat us as the best of fathers, that your desire for us, your children, is that we would have life to the full. And we thank you that you have done everything in your power to help us know for certain that we are in your family, that it is by faith in your Son, the Messiah, Yeshua, and all that he has accomplished, all that he is. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the life that we have through trusting Yeshua. Thank you that you will help us live into this life ever more fully, that we would experience the fullness that you have, that this would leak out into our relationships here in our congregation, into our families, into our world, wherever we live and work and play and do life, that others would know that in Yeshua and in Yeshua alone is life, life to the full, life that will last forever. We thank you, Father, that you are the God of life, that you created life, and that through new birth you create brand new spiritual life, and that we have partaken of that through Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you. Continue to help us grow in this life for your glory and honor and for our blessing and well-being. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.